bless you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think Brother Andrew gave a very interesting introduction to me, and he is right. He did not know much about me. So I definitely, you can all be seated. I don't want to keep you standing here. We will stand for the text here in a little bit. I assume you all stand for the reading of God's word here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But before we get into it, I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. I want to leave you guys the favor of knowing who it is that is preaching. You know, I don't even want to be. I want to be our God.
Amen.
I want to be our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's right.
Stepping in. So if you'll just pray for me, I want to just step out of the way. I want him to come in the way. So I will be relying upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But more importantly, I'm relying upon him. I'm relying upon your spirits to pull on the great spirit, on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This is God, and I expect him to come.
Amen.
Amen. So we love him. But as Brother Andrew said, I am used to small churches all my life. I've gone to small churches. I've gotten the Holy Ghost, like Brother Andrew said, in a small church, so I know the leading, how the moving of God that he can have in a small church. You know, they're having meetings down there in Lima, and I was at them, and they're wonderful, and they're great. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I believe the same God can come here today.
Yes.
He is just as powerful here today, this afternoon, as he is in Lima, as he is in Cloverdale,
That's right.
He is in Happy Valley,
Amen.
As he is in my hometown of Sweetwater. He is just the same. He is powerful. I believe
yes.
He is. He is just, if we could just get our own minds, our own selves out of the way,
Lord.
Just step aside and realize that how close he really is, how close
Amen.
The angel of the Lord
Thank
really
Lord.
Is to us.
Amen.
I think that if we let that happen, we will see remarkable things
Amen.
Take place. Amen. So yes, receive the Holy Ghost at 20, and let me tell you, life has never been the same.
Amen.
I was raised in the message. I was taught many of the doctrines of the message. I was taught the four fundamentals of the message, but I did not have the dynamics of the message until he gave me the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let me tell you, when I got the Holy Ghost,
That's it, brother.
When I had my experience, just like Paul did on the road to Damascus with the Lord, something changed in me. Something changed in me. It was, I believe it was in the month of April, and it was still cold. I think it was still snowing in Wisconsin.
Yes.
I lived in Wisconsin before moving down to Tennessee. I'll get to that. But that's why I don't have a southern dialect, by the way. This is very much a northern dialect. So I lived in Wisconsin at the time, and I went to a small church there, and that is where I got the Holy Ghost. And I was driving in my car, and just different things were pouring into my mind. There was this family that had something. I had not been around this family too often, but when I was, I saw that they had something. And their testimony spoke. I knew they had something. It was just so salty, such a salty family. Not just the dad, not just the mother, but it extended to their kids too.
Yes,
the whole family wanted to love the Lord. I'm talking about 15 years old, 12 years
yes.
old, 10-year-old kids.
Preach,
okay, so you don't have to be an
That's
adult, the young kids, to really serve God. So this was, they had a testimony, and something about them attracted me to them.
Yes.
Something attracted them, and I wanted to know more about them. In fact, they were a family at another church. So the church that I was raised in did not even really preach much of the Holy Spirit as far as the dynamics go. They taught the core fundamentals of it, but when I saw this family, I just, something was different about them.
Amen.
They had a testimony about them that was so rich.
Yes.
And when I acquired more, I learned what was I learned there was something wrong with me, and it was my spirit. My spirit did not line up, and really, looking back on it, when I reached the point where I could look back on it and see what really took place with me, I had not yet been born again.
Amen.
Okay, perhaps God had justified me, I really wanted to serve the Lord at the age of 15, and that's when I really started listening. I had a desire, but I started going down a path of just the fundamentals and not the dynamics of the message, which is the life of Jesus Christ. And that day when he broke me down, when I was broke down on the road, I just got out of my car, I pulled over, I just raised my hands in the air, and I said, God, I need you. I need you, God. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your life in me. I need the Holy Spirit. And God did not fail to meet with me there. He did not fail to meet with me there. And since then, my life has never been the same. He brought me into a life of servitude unto him. Very shortly thereafter, God called me down to Tennessee. And I knew he was calling me down to Tennessee. And so and let me tell you, brother and sister, when he calls you to do something, you know it, you can't get away from it. You cannot step aside from it. I would advise you to answer that call.
Yeah.
I would advise you to answer that call.
Yeah.
Of course, Satan has his imitations, but God's children have their ways of knowing.
Amen.
God makes a way.
Yeah.
He does not make it impossible.
Yeah.
He makes a way out. Amen. I hope I'm not. I hope the mic's not too loud here. Just before we get into our text, though, I want to ask a question that will maybe get our minds and our hearts going in the right direction. Is our God a particular God? And if so, how particular is he? Is he particular about our attitude? Is he particular about how we conduct ourselves? Is he particular about how salty we are? And let me get a little more specific. Is he particular about the doctrines that we follow?
Yes.
Okay, because I believe a God that can get so specific as to nail down, outline the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant to the cubit and a half is a specific and particular God.
Oh.
That was the message for that day. Moses, I want you to build me an ark. I want you to build me an ark. And now in this day, he is outlined dimensions for his people to the cubit.
Right.
He has outlined it in his word through the prophet messenger who came with this message to introduce him, Jesus Christ, and to say that Jesus Christ is not, he's here.
Yes.
He is here.
Yes.
He is here. He is not out there. He is here. Why, you brought him in.
Yes.
Where the two or three are gathered in my name, there I shall be in the midst of them. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we're in the right atmosphere.
That's right.
I think we're in the right atmosphere. We welcome his presence in here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm grateful for Brother Andrew inviting me up here into the town of defiance. And if we can be this afternoon, I think we can be defiant to the world. We can be defiant to the expectations of the world. When I saw that name, Defiance, Ohio, the name of the town here, I thought to myself, that's an interesting name. That's an interesting place for a church, a message church, to be located at. Amen. So I think we can do that. To the world's expectations, let's be defiant.
Yeah.
Let's be defiant to the devil, because the devil does not expect you to succeed, or he would not be doing what he is doing.
Hallelujah.
All right.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if we could, let's just stand. And before we go to our text, let's just bow our heads and our hearts in a word of prayer. I think it's necessary to pray to the Creator. Our Heavenly Father, how we love you, God. God, we know that you have brought us here for a purpose. You've assembled the saints of God here together for something. Lord, we know that you are not a God who works in vain. You do not do things in vain, God. But you have a purpose, God. And because these people have met you on your terms, you are going to fulfill your purpose here in us this afternoon, God. And so we ask you that your Holy Spirit might come, oh God, and sweep over the people, permeate our vessels. We ask, God, we ask these things and bless the reading of your word, God. Speak through me, I pray, God. I don't want it to be me. I want it to be you and only you, God.
Yes,
I ask in the name of Jesus Christ. So we'll turn right away to Mark 11. And we'll read verse 22. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So remember, our God is a particular God.
Uh-huh.
And as this sermon, I don't want it to seem like a generic sermon. If our God is a specific God, then he has a specific purpose.
Yes.
And I believe that he has wanted me maybe perhaps to just bring this out a certain way in a specific perspective.
Sure.
To show us something even deeper.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So Mark 11 and verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, say that with me, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can all be seated. So I'd like you, for my text this morning, I'd like to focus on this subject of whosoever shall say unto this mountain.
Amen.
This will remind me. It's
getting pretty hot.
It's all right, bro. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain.
Amen.
And this is not a whosoever will sermon, because don't misinterpret me. Not just anyone can have this verse applied in their life. But this verse is to a specific type of people.
Come on, brother.
Because this is pertaining, because it is faith of God. We know that the prophet of God taught that you can only have faith if you have received a revelation from God on something prior to this. And we know that God can reveal this in many different ways. He can speak it to his people, of course. But what did the prophet always teach us to do? Run it back to the Word. Run it back to the Word. Because as God inspires thoughts into people, so too does Satan have his counterfeit.
Amen.
He inspires thoughts into people. And so while we might have leadings, we need to check our leadings with the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God is our absolute, it is our standard, it is our foundation, which we base everything upon.
Amen.
So we can find the laws of God written in it pertaining to this faith. That he is talking about. So, is this going to be a faith sermon? Yes, but this is going to be a faith sermon in a more specific way. Because I want to ask the questions. What kind of faith is he talking about?
Amen, brother. Come on now.
And how do we have this kind of faith that God, or that Jesus Christ is talking about here? And what is this faith going to get us? What is this faith going to get us? So I'm just going to skip ahead right to the target of this goal. And the goal is the rapture.
That's right.
The goal is the rapture. You all would not be here if this was not a proven, vindicated message. You all would not be here if you did not trust this message to get you into the rapture. Why? Because God has his covenant in this day with his people. He has to have a people somewhere. And if he has a people somewhere, he has to have a covenant with that people.
Hallelujah.
And if he has to have a covenant with the people, what is that covenant? Remember, God had his covenant with Abraham.
Sure. Amen.
Not with Lot.
That's right.
Not with Lot, although because of Abraham, God spared Sodom and Gomorrah until Lot was called out.
Right.
But if you remember, Lot's wife was not spared. Why? Because she disobeyed.
Amen.
Because God's covenant only extended to Abraham, not to Lot. And because it did not extend to Lot, it did not extend to Lot's wife.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
That is why when Sarah laughed, God should have smitten her.
That's right.
Right there on the spot. Why did Sarah laugh at me? Why? She laughed in her heart.
Amen.
She laughed in her heart. If you remember, Abraham also laughs in another passage. When Elohim meets with him and he tells him that you are going to have a son.
That's right.
At such an old age, and he laughs. But he did not smite Abraham. Of course he did not, because his covenant was with him. His covenant promise was with him. And because the promise comes before the law, and the law was for the wicked, the law was death unto the wicked. Remember, the letter killeth, but it's the spirit that giveth life. And so we know that the law did this, but what superseded the law? It was the promise. And because the promise came before the law, the promise had the preeminence, because God remembered his promise with Abraham. And because God remembered his promise with Abraham, he remembers his covenant has to extend to his children. He has to remember his covenant cannot just extend to the Jews. For when they rejected him, his covenant went over to the Gentiles, to the faithful. And that is what I'm going to hit on. That faith seed of Abraham.
Amen.
That faith seed. So we know that faith is important, because we cannot go in the rapture unless we have faith. We cannot really say that God's covenant does not apply to us unless we will take God at his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus here is talking about an extraordinary amount of faith.
Yes, sir.
Picking up a mountain and casting that into the sea. I don't think anyone's been able to do that, Brother James, since Adam.
Right.
Since that man that was set up as a God, given the authority to subdue the earth, so forth, and subdue the earth. So Adam had that authority before the fall. But after that fall, no one has been able to do something like this, as far as talking about picking up a mountain and plucking it up and casting it to the sea. So that has not, how many of you can say that's happened? So what is Jesus talking about here? Is he talking about a literal mountain? I'm not going to say he's not, because anything is possible
with
God. If God told me to speak to a mountain, pick it up and cast it to the sea, I would do it.
Amen.
If I knew that that was God. If I knew that inspiration came from God to tell me. Remember, how many of you can speak squirrels into existence? Why did Brother Branham do that? Because God told him to. He challenged him. He challenged him. In fact, it was on the specific passage that he challenged him. Do you doubt my word? So we know first that there has to be a revelation from God, everything in its right order, everything in the right priority, everything in the right chain of command. Remember, you are not the power to control. The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:5. We preach not ourselves. Anything that exalts ourselves above the Lord Jesus Christ is Antichrist.
Amen.
Because it contradicts the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So Jesus is saying this as a response to Peter. He is talking to Peter here. And while this might initially seem like a double passage, almost like it is cut off and it has nothing to do with the other, it in fact has a lot to do with each other. Because we're message believers.
Yes.
And because we're message believers, we love to look at things in proper context.
Yes.
We love to look at things in proper context of God's word.
Yes.
Amen. So, in order to get proper context, let's go back.
That's right.
Let's go back a few verses. and see what the setting of the stage is here.
Amen.
So go back to chapter 11, verse 12. So stay in the same chapter. Let's go back to verse 12 here. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. Who is he? Jesus Christ.
Right.
Was hungry. Right. Yes, Jesus Christ was a man. He had the same hungers we have.
Right.
He had the same thirst we have.
Right.
He was tempted with many things.
Sure.
He was tempted with many things, especially in the wilderness. He was tempted in the Garden of Gethsemane. Did you know that?
Right.
Did you know that? When
yes.
he was praying, Lord, may this cup, Father, may this cup pass from me.
Right.
Sure.
If it be thy will.
Yes.
But see, because that was God and man, he lined himself up with God's word.
Amen.
So is this a man? Yes, it was a man. But this was God
Amen.
In a man.
Yes.
Remember, the Father,
Hallelujah.
God was in Jesus Christ,
yes.
reconciling the world
yes.
back
yes.
to himself.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But that doesn't mean this man, this Son of God, cannot hunger.
Sure.
That's good.
So he was hungry in verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came. If haply, haply does not mean happy. It just means maybe or therefore. And so if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. Now I want you to notice that. For the time of figs was not yet. So then why did Jesus Christ go up to it and hope to find something on it? If the time of figs was not yet, if the season of figs was not there yet. You know, if you want an apple and you have an apple orchard, you're hungering for an apple and say, I want an apple. Are you going to go outside and look for an apple if you know that there is no apples on the tree yet?
Right.
If you know that the season is not there
right.
for apples.
Right.
So then the question must be asked, why then did Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Lord, go up to this fig tree and attempt to find figs on it? And thankfully, our prophet messenger does us a favor of answering this for us so we can find this in the message. So I'm going to read this quote, I believe from the heart, 1957. This is paragraph 36. Jesus said no. And look, it wasn't the tree's fault. It wasn't the tree's fault. It was not time for figs yet.
Yes. Yes.
It was not time for figs yet. The season was not right for it.
Yes.
But Jesus Christ did not care. He did not care. He went up to it anyways, looking for figs on it. And what did he... Let's continue reading here. But he did it to magnify himself. He did it to magnify himself, to prove himself. He was the Messiah.
Thank you, Jesus.
And that was one of the testimonies that he was the Messiah.
Yes.
Remember, Messiah, the other word for Messiah is Christ.
That's right.
Amen.
The Greek word for Christ is Christos.
Yes.
And that word just simply means anointed one. Anointed one. But this was not just any anointed one. This was the anointed one. What did Peter say to Jesus when he asked Peter, who do you say that I am?
That's right.
Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not a Christ, not just any anointed one, but this was the Christ the scriptures had foretold of. This was the Christ with the anointing of God all over him. Why, the fullness of the Godhead was inside of him. The Father in his fullness was inside of him. And he was doing this to prove that the Father was inside of him. He was doing this to show you this is God in flesh. This is flesh that was born into this world, Brother James, just like you and me, except he did not come the way of sex. He came virgin. He came by the spoken word.
That's
but
right.
God had to speak that word to human flesh to prove that the same to notice this. The standard was set. So this was the Messiah. Now what does Brother Branham many times go on to call you and me? Messiah S. Messiah S. Which means that the same anointing that was on Jesus Christ is on you and me. And that he is here because he has come. And you and me to honor his word. Not us, but him, Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 So he was proving that he was the Messiah because he had to. Because he had to prove it. Otherwise, how would we know?
That's it. There it is.
That was a seal of his messiahship. That's an interesting word to use, brothers. Seal.
Yes,
the last seal. Now I want you to watch this. Hopefully you'll catch this now. The last seal was his resurrection.
Yes.
And his ascension. That was the last seal of his messiahship. What he'd done was the proof that he was. The last seal was his resurrection and ascension.
Yes.
And if that was his seal of being anointed, of his messiahship, then what about you and me?
Yes.
What is our seal?
Yes.
If we not raised from the dead, Christ Jesus did not raise from the dead. There is a resurrection, Brother Andrew. There is a resurrection. Nature proves it. And nature proves it when winter comes and kills everything. And then the next season, what happens? The leaves begin to bud. And the fruits begin to come. It's not just replacement. It's not just replacing this Bible with something else. But it's a resurrection of the same. It's not just replacing you. I'm not going to die if someone else comes and takes my place. That's replacement, brother. The resurrection is the same thing being brought forth, that life. Hallelujah. And so that extends to you and me because, hallelujah, we have the Holy Ghost. Has he given us power to become the sons and daughters of God? Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So if he's given us power to become the sons of God,
that's right,
then surely we must be called children of God.
Amen.
And if a child of God, we have a covenant.
Yes.
From our Father.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir. Oh, my.
Who is the mediator? Remember, there is only one.
That's it.
One place.
Yes.
Amen. Come on,
God's provided place of worship.
Yes, sir.
And that is in Jesus Christ. Because it was Jesus Christ who had all this happen with him.
Yes.
All of these seals of his messiahship that God had proven to him, to us. Through him,
that's right.
The Godhead causing him to be resurrected.
Yes.
God resurrecting that flesh body.
Right.
Amen. Yes.
And he's also going to resurrect our flesh body.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we'll go on here because we're still getting context.
Yes.
So he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. So who here is going to go up to Jesus Christ and tell him, you can't do that. That wasn't fair for that fig tree. It did not have figs on it. Who's going to do that? Remember, God was in this man, inspiring him to do what he did.
Yes.
He went up to this tree, didn't ask it, do you want to be cursed? Because in the next verse you're going to find out what he does here. He curses it, verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Forever. And his disciples heard it. They were witnesses to it. They were witnesses to this thing that he had cursed that fig tree. Why do you suppose he did that? To prove his messiahship. What principle is God trying to nail down here? Remember, God raises up vessels of honor,
right,
as well as vessels fitted for destruction, like Pharaoh. Like Pharaoh. And who are we to question God? Is there any unrighteousness with God? God forbid.
Amen.
God forbid. So, it is not you doing this. I want you to notice this.
It
has nothing to do with you. Well, the laws of free human will are still in effect.
Yes.
You can't leave out the main catalyst, God's will.
Yes.
You can't leave him out. And you know what? If you're going to tell him, well, how can you have that? How can you go against free human will? He'll tell you, I was in a human. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he followed my word. And that's why all power and authority were placed under his feet.
Thank
that's right.
You,
amen. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
So it is predestination.
Glory to God.
It is predestination. You cannot just come to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
None comes to me
but
the Father draws.
Yes.
Amen.
You can't come unless the Father's called you.
Yes.
You can't. I'm not trying to scare you here now.
But
we have to put everything in proper placement of God's word. Because if we can realize that it is predestination that has called us, then we can really see the extent of the grace of God in his plan for you and for me. And to really see how elaborate of a plan
that's right.
He has orchestrated.
That's
sending his only begotten. Begotten means born, though.
Yes.
Right.
And you and I are born spiritually. After our natural birth. But Jesus Christ came without a sinless nature. Without any of that to hold him back.
That's right.
And that is why the fullness of the Godhead was able to dwell upon him in such a magnificent extent. Because there was nothing, no sin nature. I'm going to be hitting on this here in a little bit. As far as the sin nature goes. And his disciples heard it. Verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem. So I'm just going to skip over this part real quick because Jesus goes into Jerusalem to cast out the money changers in the temple. So he's there. And skip on down to verse 20. So, and in the morning, so now a day has passed since the cursing of the fig tree. He went to Jerusalem, he spent the day in Jerusalem, and he cast out the money changers. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots.
Right.
So this thing that Jesus said the day before, cursing the fig tree, now it's happened.
That's right.
I want to show you it does not necessarily happen right away.
Right.
But it happens.
Yes.
It happens.
Yes.
Because if you look, the disciples were not surprised when Jesus cursed it. They probably just stood there and watched as nothing happened.
Yep. Right.
And then went on to Jerusalem. But the following day, watch what happens. Verse 21, and Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold the fig tree, which thou cursest, is withered away. So Peter is astonished now. He is exclaiming this thing to Jesus Christ. He is telling him this fig tree has dried up. Jesus probably looked at him, looked at his faith, and, well, duh. Didn't you already call me? The Christ, the Son of the living God, back in Mark 8, just a few chapters earlier.
Amen.
So already at this time, Peter had had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was.
Yes.
And who he was.
Amen.
But look at what happened. He was astonished, which means he probably didn't think much. He probably didn't think about it too much when it happened. Did Peter have doubt? Jesus answers him now. Verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, unto them. So he's not just answering Peter, but he is also answering his disciples.
Sure.
He is also telling them, this is what you need. Have faith in God.
Amen.
Because their faith was lacking, clearly at this point in time. And then Jesus, says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart,
That's it.
Wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a second. So there is stipulations to this.
Yes.
There is stipulations. So Jesus Christ is outlining how he does this.
Right.
He is outlining how he does this. And notice, he does not just say, only I can do it.
Right.
He does not just tell Peter, only you can do it, Peter. He does not just tell his disciples, it's only to the 12 of you. But he says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. What is he doing? He is arguing from an extreme point. That is why he had to choose a mountain to pick up and be cast into the sea in this example. Because he is outlining, he is giving us this example to show what is possible in our lives.
Amen.
As long as it comes from the right source.
Yes, sir.
And as long as you shall not doubt.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
In your heart.
That's
So let's pause for a moment on that word doubt. What is doubt? It is the opposite of belief. And so we can go ahead and call it unbelief.
Yes.
And what is unbelief in God's word? It is sin.
Right.
It is sin.
Amen.
It is sin. Because it is unbelief. Our prophet taught us that sin is unbelief.
Hallelujah.
Unbelief in God's word, Brother James.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And if someone has unbelief, then there is going to be attributes of that unbelief in your life.
Right.
What kind of attributes? What about worldly pursuits? I'm just going to go through a quick list of these things here. If you're taking notes, this is probably a good time to write this stuff down. Check yourselves and make sure you don't have these in your life. Worldly pursuits. If you want a house, if you want a car, and God has not given you permission for those things. Gone are the days when we ask God, is it okay if we can do this? Remember, the Son does nothing except what he sees the Father doing him first. Except what he sees doing him first.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Gone are those days. Gone are those days when we ask God if we can do this. If we really want God leading our lives, then we cannot cut him out from certain aspects of our life. When Brother Andrew invited me to preach here, I asked God, do you want me to come and preach here? Do you want me to come and preach here? Of course, he said that he had me on his heart, but I wanted to make sure.
Yes, sir, that's it.
I prayed about it. I prayed about it.
Yes, sir.
So you want to do nothing except what he shows you first.
Right.
You want to be led. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. We are not led by the Spirit of God enough in this day. We cut him out of certain facets in our life.
Sure.
Good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good.
Hallelujah. What about having a bitter spirit?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Come on now.
What about being bitter against someone?
Yes.
Holding on to a grudge.
Oh,
and what does sometimes bitterness inspire someone to do? It inspires slander.
Yeah.
It inspires slander.
Yeah.
And what does slander do? It kills testimonies. Now, I'm not talking about the example with John calling out Diotrephes in 3 John.
Absolutely.
Because 3 John wanted to have the preeminence. Diotrephes was out for himself.
Right.
He was out for himself.
Sure.
He was out for his own skin. He wanted to have the preeminence among the people. But John was calling him out. Why was he able to do that? That was an apostolic mannerism.
Yeah.
He was calling him out because the Spirit of the Lord led him to call it out. We believe that the Scripture is inspired. Hello?
Amen.
Amen. We are a message church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We believe the Word of God is inspired. So therefore we believe John was inspired when he wrote that.
Yes, sir.
Right.
But slandering a man of God when that man is used to win souls for the kingdom of God. How could we do that? How could God inspire us to fight against other men of God and kill their testimony? Kill their testimony. Remember, slander is worse than murder. This is true murder when you kill somebody's testimony. God forbid that keeps a soul from being saved.
Amen.
God forbid that keeps any souls from coming into his kingdom.
Sure.
So before you slander someone, you check and see if God, if it's really him.
Right.
I'm not saying those things can't happen.
Sure.
When you can call someone out on the wrong.
Right.
If it is necessary.
Yes,
and the Spirit of God does this, but I want to remind you this is a very weighty thing.
Right.
You are dealing with somebody's testimony because testimony is influence. And influence can take 10 years to build and 10 seconds to crumble.
Amen.
Because remember, I was one to the Holy Ghost by testimony.
Yes.
So I know the effects of testimony.
Absolutely.
Yes,
sir.
And this man was already slandered. You know that? This man was already slandered. Which is why it took me so long.
Oh,
took me so long because he was being slandered against. But God used that.
Amen.
There was a time a lot of which he would allow me to see past the slander.
That's it,
I thought this man did this. I thought this man was that.
That's it.
But he's not. He's not preaching heresy.
Right.
He's not preaching something contrary to the seventh seal message.
Right. Come on, brother.
He's preaching the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's preaching the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He's preaching life.
Yes.
And I caught hold of that life, Brother Andrew, because God allowed me to look past that slander by his grace, by predestination, by election.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. So you cannot, I urge you not to slander.
Yes.
I urge you not to slander.
Amen.
What about pride? Not ourselves.
That's right.
But Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
We're not above anything.
No.
That's right.
I'm
Amen.
Not all.
Amen.
In fact, I'm Lord.
Yeah.
I'm Lord Christ Jesus. Lord himself before his own disciples when he washed Peter's feet.
Yeah.
He lowered himself. He humbled himself. Remember, he who humbles himself shall be exalted.
Amen.
And he who exalts himself shall be obeyed.
Go!
Yeah.
There's grace for these things. There's grace for these. I'm not saying if you have this, you're lost. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's repentance.
Yes, yes.
There is still a way because God's covenant is a covenant of grace.
Amen.
And it extends to us. It extends to us, his children.
Amen.
And so we can right these wrongs in our lives. Because why? If this ark is a cubit too long in dimension, just shut it off.
That's right.
Sand it down. Get it polished.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Fit for the Spirit of God to come.
Hallelujah.
And dwell himself.
That's right. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we're not better than anyone.
No.
That's right.
The Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost does not make us better than someone.
Hit it, brother.
It should only make us love that someone
Amen.
More
Amen.
And want the same thing that we have for them so they can experience the riches of his kingdom. Because these riches are magnificent. Let me tell you something. There is nothing worth what I have. Brother, what you have, there is nothing. You cannot place a price on this thing. This is more glorious. This is the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Hallelujah. This is the mark of the high calling, and he's here.
Yes.
What so many men fought and died for. Ignatius, when that bishop of Smyrna was being carted off, he wrote many letters to the churches. He wrote many letters to the churches saying, I am not unwilling to go to die. I want it.
Yes.
I want it.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, died. What more of a magnificent death could I go to than this? He wrote one of his letters to Polycarp, and Polycarp later went on to a similar fate.
Yes,
they didn't even have to tie him up.
Right.
He did not even have to tie him up. He remembered how Ignatius, when they unleashed the beasts on him, he did not flee. He didn't flee from them. He didn't flee from the devil. He went up to them, and he pulled it onto him. He welcomed that death because he knew that he was sealed and that his death was going to win so many more to the kingdom. His death brought life.
Yeah.
It brought a resurrection.
Amen.
Sure. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
And we complain.
That's it. Preach,
we complain if our lives are inconvenient.
Yeah. Amen.
If our lives are inconvenient in any way.
Yes.
There's any discomfort.
Preach, brother.
In our lives. The car won't start. If you don't think you'll get paid enough this week, where's your faith? Where's Matthew 6? Where is he? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Unto you. Think not on what you shall eat, what you shall wear. None of these things. God takes care of his children. His covenant is with us. It's not with the lots out there. There's a lot of lots.
Hallelujah.
There was only one Abraham. There's only one message.
Yeah, that's right.
There was only one group of people that his covenant can go to.
That's right.
Only one.
Hallelujah.
Only one. These men had fought and died.
Amen.
This very message has been restored.
Glory to God.
Revealed unto us. That's why we don't take this for granted. We don't realize the weight. All the pressure, all the distractions that the devil seeks to put into our life to get us to draw our minds onto other things. Because when you find your mind getting drawn onto other things, then you are not thinking about his word. Isaiah 26:3, blessed is he whose mind is stayed upon me. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace.
That's it.
These are inspired words of the Creator.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 The same words cause gravity to occur. Will also raise us up.
That's it.
In that last day.
That's right.
It has to happen.
That's
it is His law.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Better. There's no need to be jealous.
That's it. That's right.
Of someone more talented than yourself.
Oh,
there it is. Yeah.
Preach,
brother. I'll tell you, I've been envious of someone.
Sure.
I've been bitter. I've been
right.
Envious.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you, I'm sad.
Yes.
I'm sad. God broke me down.
That's it.
Release all of that from me.
Amen.
And when influences try and come into my life.
Preach.
When influences try and come into my life, I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost I can pick up that initial leading of the devil when it first comes in. I can pick up that thought. I can say, God, that was not my thought. So I rebuke that thought. I take out my shotgun and blow it up with the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say so to yourselves. This is a battle. This is a war we're in. We are fighting a battle. We are fighting to be in this rapture. The devil don't want you to be. He don't want God's word to be fulfilled. He wants to stop it at all costs. He wants to stop it at all costs. Down to the youngest infant. He wants to slay. He wants to destroy. He wants to burn. He wants everything to fall under his kingdom and any effect of this gospel that is opposed to him. He wants it to be cast out of his kingdom.
That's
but
right.
Praise God, it won't.
Yes.
It won't. Why? Because this is not his kingdom.
Yes.
This is not his kingdom. Yes. This kingdom belongs to another. Yes. And that day is soon coming.
Yes.
And that resurrection comes.
Yes.
The wedding supper happens.
Yes.
And Christ, we descend with him in Revelation 19.
Yes.
We'll descend dressed, white and clean.
Yes.
Fine and clean. White linen. Come back and walk upon the ashes of the
world.
That's
it. Yeah.
Not a hair on our heads will be singed.
No.
Why?
Praise you, Lord.
Because God has to keep his covenant with his people.
Amen.
So let me ask you, how hard is it?
Yeah, brother.
How hard is it really to have faith in God? You see, once you remove all these other things.
That's right. That's
and
it.
You lay hold of God's word. You see then that element that was holding you back. You see that doubt that was holding you back.
That's it, brother.
From that faith. Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
His name.
I want to cover a big one, though. This is a big one. And unfortunately, it's got a lot of people. Hypocrisy.
Yeah.
And it might not be hypocrisy the way you're thinking.
Yeah, brother.
Because, of course, people can come to church and be hypocrites. That's right. That's true. But let's peel this back like the layers of an onion and see what is at the heart of hypocrisy.
Come on now.
Because it's true, you can fake it before everyone, but not before God.
That's right.
And that's where I'm going to hit. I'm going to take this into the privacy of your own home.
That's it.
When you pray, when you bow before God,
yeah,
you exalt Him. How many times do we repent of things that do not break off from us?
Yes.
Because then that's not true repentance.
Right.
Repenting is turning around and walking.
Yeah.
It's not just saying, I'm sorry. But it's meaning it and doing it. It's meaning it and doing it. God provides a way of escape for His people. Of course He does. Of course He does. He allows you to be able to walk away. But the problem is, you have to mean it. You have to mean what you say before God. You have to mean every word that you say. Because if you don't, then God knows that you are lying to Him. God, I repent. I repent of this and that, Lord. I'm so sorry. I repent. God's sitting there. Okay. I know you're going to do it tomorrow. Okay. How many times?
Yeah.
See, that is not the message. That is not repentance.
No,
sir.
That is not it at all.
No.
That does not inspire faith. Because when you do it the next time, you will question God.
Yes.
You will question everything.
That's it.
Is God really in my life?
Come on, brother.
I'm not saying He isn't.
Right.
But God should eventually inspire true repentance to
him.
Amen. He should eventually inspire true repentance.
Right.
So we don't want to be hypocritical before our Almighty God.
Right.
Because He is not being hypocritical with us. God is faithful. God is true. God is just. And God will see His covenant fulfilled, what He has promised that He will achieve. I don't care what direction the world goes.
That's right, brother.
I don't care what direction. I don't care how many parts of the wall of Jericho fell down. Rahab, when she was given that scarlet thread, she held to that. She held to that. She knew Israel was coming into power. She knew Israel was that was Israel's land. She knew it. And she accepted that token.
Yes, Lord.
That token, which was the scarlet thread.
Amen.
And when that Israel, that army of Israel, marched around Jericho seven times, not just one, two, three, but seven times.
Amen.
And Rahab's up there. She knows things are going to happen. She can feel those walls trembling. But she's trusting God.
That's it.
I want you to notice that when those walls started falling, and Rahab's tower stayed, the only thing that stayed, because her covenant was not just recognized by Joshua, it was recognized by God. God inspired that wall to stay up. God inspired her wall to stay. God allowed and inspired her to be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Because of her faith, because of her obedience to the word of God, because of her faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 So, as far as doubt goes, we don't want this in our lives.
That's right, brother. No, sir.
Because this is going to hold us back.
Yes.
That's why preachers bring these things out to you.
Amen.
That's why they point out sin, so this sin can be removed.
Right.
We don't want it. We don't mean, it's not like we dislike God's people.
Amen.
But this is what God wants us to do.
Right.
God wants us to do this. Why? Because we're going in a rapture.
Yeah.
We're going in a rapture.
Yeah.
You're holding, one person can hold it back.
That's right.
One of the predestinated seed of God can hold it all back. That's why we have to make ourselves ready. Because we're the wife of the Lamb.
Amen.
We can recognize that we're the wife of the
Lamb
because of what it says in Revelation 19. Because of God confirming His covenant with us by sending the prophet of Malachi 4 and 5.
Yes.
To show that God has not left us.
Amen.
He has not left His people. Godless. He has not abandoned them.
No.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So let's go on here in our context reading. So Mark 11, continuing verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. I'm going to go back to believe here in a few minutes. But I want to go ahead because Jesus says something in the next couple of verses. That is pertinent to understanding this. Which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray. So now he brings this down to a very practical level.
Right.
Something that you and I can understand.
Right.
So this shows what Jesus Christ is talking about. He is talking about prayer then.
Right.
Okay, verse 24, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them,
yes, sir,
and ye shall have them. So there has to be a receiving end. You have to be willing to receive it in order to accept it.
Amen.
Verse 25, and when ye stand praying for you,
yes, sir,
if ye have aught against any,
right,
that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you,
yes,
your trespasses.
Yes.
Amen.
Are we so without mistakes that we can't forgive others with mistakes? How hypocritical can we be?
Yes, that's true.
Are we so callous, without love, devoid of love, to show others grace?
Yes.
If someone wrongs you, do you forgive me?
Right.
I know in the flesh it's painful. I know in the flesh it's painful. It was painful to Jesus Christ.
Right.
What did he say when they were getting ready to crucify him? Father, forgive them. Because they know not what they do. Don't forgive
either.
But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So I think Mark said that good enough. But now I just wanted to cover forgiveness. That's the other part.
Yes,
before praying to God, make sure that you forgive.
Yes.
Because if you don't, if you go to God with a grudge in your heart and you try and ask for something, how is God going to be able to recognize
that's it?
When you have that awful black grudge on your heart,
right,
you got to get that food.
Amen.
Right.
That's good.
Before he will.
That's
answer.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
Remember, the father does not spoil his children.
That's it.
He chastises them. Yeah. He refines him in the fire of God.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That's why whatever we ask for, in whatever attitude we're in, is not good. Because there are stipulations.
Right.
You have to be in the right attitude.
Yes.
You have to forgive.
Yes.
Let's go back. I want to focus now on verse 23 where it says, but shall believe that those things that you say shall be yes. So we focused on doubt and unforgiveness and the things that can stop us from having belief. But now I want to bring out, by the grace of God, belief.
Sir.
How do we believe? How do we have faith in God?
Amen.
And by the grace of God, let's dissect this here. Because I believe that he tells us properly how. It's more than just not having sin.
Come on, brother, preach.
If you could turn to Hebrews 11 and 6. I was going to write this on a whiteboard, but I'll just let you write this in your notes. But I think this is paramount to understand. I believe that there's someone here who needs this.
Yes, sir.
Because someone here is having trials in their life. And they need God to answer them. They've been waiting. God, is this real? Is this real? Could you show your power to me? Could you show it to me, God? I'm starting to shake, God. I got all this pressure on me. I need to see your word fulfilled, God.
Yes.
Would you do this for me? And God sees those prayers.
Right.
Amen.
So Hebrews 11, and 6. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. So who is it talking about? It's talking about God.
Right.
Without faith, it is impossible to please him.
That's right.
Remember, the rapture is a revelation. And when it hits you and becomes a revelation,
then that is faith that hits you, because it is something that has been revealed by God.
Yeah.
So without that faith that has been revealed to you by God, it is impossible to please Him.
Amen.
Right.
Now watch what it says here in the next part. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is.
That's right. That's it.
Now that says a lot.
It does.
You must believe that He is. What does that mean? Believe that He is God? Believe that He is the unchanging God who keeps His word, who keeps His covenant with His people.
Good.
Jesus Christ the same yesterday,
that's
today,
it,
and forever,
right,
so He does,
amen,
not change.
That's right.
And because you believe that He is God, you have to believe that He hears your prayers.
That's it. That's
when,
right,
you talk to Him, you don't want to be talking to Him and thinking that He might not hear your,
that's,
prayers.
It, brother.
I understand,
yep,
it. I've been there. I know what it feels like,
sure,
to,
right,
feel empty, to feel like your prayers are hitting the roof,
right,
and not going any farther.
Amen.
But you can't feel like that.
No.
You can't feel like,
no,
that, because that is your feeling.
That
is not God's feeling.
Amen.
Because as He sees His child crying and straining and pleading before Him,
hallelujah,
He says, son, daughter, don't worry, the answer's on its way.
Amen.
Deliverance is coming.
Yes.
Deliverance is coming.
Hallelujah.
But sometimes He asks us to be patient. But deliverance is coming.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because He is. He that comes to God must believe.
Yes.
You cannot come to God unless you believe.
Right.
And expect,
amen,
that God will answer you.
That's right.
But when you do, you cast aside all your feelings.
Right.
Wherever you're at in your mind,
right,
you just commit it all to God. And,
yeah,
you say, God, I'm trusting,
yeah,
on your word.
Yeah.
I'm praying to you in the name of Jesus,
yeah,
Christ. I'm coming God's provided way. I am repented of these things. I'm being,
right,
sincere.
Amen.
That's why I brought up hypocrisy. You're not being sincere in your prayers. And therefore, I will answer you.
Right.
Because my covenant, I am,
hallelujah,
God, and I care about my testimony.
Hallelujah.
Because God's testimony won't fall.
Yes.
It will,
that's
never,
it,
fall. The atheists will try and slander Him.
That's it.
But God don't care.
That's right.
Right.
No, he
right, keeps it.
Amen.
He keeps His time schedule.
Yes, He does.
Believe me, God has a schedule.
Yes.
But it doesn't always align up with,
yes,
our,
that's,
schedule.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So Hebrews 11 and 6, that page closed on me. So I'm just going to... So, he that cometh to God must believe that He is.
Right.
And the second part, if you still have your Bibles,
sure,
open.
Right.
Must believe that He is, and believe that He is a rewarder,
yeah,
of those that diligently seek Him.
Yeah.
Diligently seek Him. That word diligently is persistent.
That's right.
It is perseverant.
Yeah.
It is without ceasing.
Yeah.
It is without stopping. It is without pausing.
Yeah.
That is why the Apostle Paul said that I would have all men,
yeah,
pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
What is that to mean, pray without ceasing? It is to be, because I get it. I get it. I get it. We humans have to have a schedule. We sons and daughters, we have a work schedule, so we cannot be always on our hands and knees,
yeah,
praying. As much as I would like to do more,
right,
we have work.
Yes.
We have work. But it is always in our work. It is,
yeah,
in our daily,
yeah,
activities, in our,
amen,
daily walk, to be in communion with the Creator. Because when you go somewhere, the Creator, the Holy,
yeah,
Ghost, goes,
yeah,
with,
yeah,
you. That little flower goes,
yeah,
with you.
Yeah.
He goes with you. He does not forsake,
yeah,
you. He goes with you. And He's there for you to talk to.
Amen.
He's there if you,
yeah,
want to talk to Him.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what it is. Pray without ceasing to pray to Him.
Yes, Lord.
Even,
yes,
in your head. Even in your head. You might think, you might get the feeling no one else is on the receiving end. But there is.
Yes.
Because the thoughts get recorded,
woo,
in heaven.
Yes.
So thoughts do get recorded. That's how close this goes. It's a,
yes,
it goes to the level of having a mind battle.
Yes.
Diligence.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Without doubting in your heart. Without doubting, because God is a powerful.
Amen.
This is the Creator. How can we doubt Him when He says something?
That's right.
He who gave me the Holy Ghost and changed me.
Yes.
Sure, I can see proof in nature. Yes. I can see proof in others. But let me tell you, brother and sister, the biggest proof is when I see the Word of God fulfilled in my life. Then it changes. Then the faith strikes. Then something is quickened. Then I can see
Hallelujah.
A revelation
Hallelujah.
What God is doing.
Yes.
That we can, in fact, use God's Word.
Yes.
That we can, in fact, use them for warrants. You all know what a warrant is.
Yes.
When a man is to become arrested,
That's right.
a cop has to go and get what is called a warrant
That's right.
from his authority, his law, his superior.
Sure. That's right, brother.
He has to go and get a warrant. And he might go up, he will go up and knock on the door of the criminal to arrest him. The criminal will open. And the cop will sat here to arrest you. And the criminal will look at him and say, On what grounds do you have to arrest me? On what grounds do you have to haul me off? You see, unless you have grounds,
right.
I am protected.
Right.
Demons, unless you have grounds to remove them, they are protected.
Right.
Sure are.
Good.
But then the officer holds up.
That's right.
A warrant. I have a warrant for your arrest
right.
from the law.
Oh.
And who is the law in this case?
Yeah.
God's
yes.
word is the law.
Amen.
God's word is the law.
Yes.
When you go to prayer and you pray and you ask for something, you cite his word.
Yes.
Believe
yes.
me, the word of God
yes.
is so wonderful.
Yes.
Because I can plagiarize it.
Yes.
The word of God, the law of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the only kingdom whose law it is not only where it's not only legal to plagiarize. God's word. But it is required
yes.
to plagiarize God's
yes.
word to go
right.
in the rapture
yes.
to hear your prayers answered. Believe me, saints, this is not a bad thing. This is the idea that we quote God's word back to him
yes.
because it is his word going and quickening that earthly flesh
yes.
and having that word brought back to him.
Yes.
The deep calleth to the deep. And this is a pleasing thing to God.
Yes.
This is pleasing to him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Good, brother.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we want to quote God's word.
Yes.
What warrants do we have?
Amen, brother.
What about Isaiah 59:19? When the enemy comes in like a flood,
right.
the Spirit of the Lord
Amen.
Shall lift up a standard against him.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I can quote that to God
yes.
when the pressure's coming on. When that
yes.
devil's trying
yes.
to run me the other way,
yes.
I can go back to him, God, I need your standard. I need the standard that Isaiah talked about.
Yes.
You quote that too. God loves that.
Amen.
He
right.
loves it because
That's
it's something
right.
he promised.
That's it.
The Spirit of the Lord
yes.
shall lift up a
yes.
standard against him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. What else do we have? Loving parents, love your children.
Yes.
What about Psalm 103 and Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where it says righteousness. The mercies of the Lord are from everlasting to everlasting. And the right in his righteousness unto children's children.
Amen.
Not just children, but children's children. Yes.
Amen.
Yes, that means grandchildren.
Yeah.
That means you can ask God for his righteousness
yeah.
upon your children.
Yeah.
And not only
yeah.
your children, but upon
yeah.
their children.
Yeah.
You can ask that for them.
Yeah.
Why not? He
yeah.
said it in his word.
Yeah.
Brother Bradley,
yeah.
how do you have the audacity
yeah.
to stand up there and say that my children can be brought in, can have the righteousness of God?
Yeah.
Extend it unto them. I will tell you, because God's word says so.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because God's word says so.
Yeah.
It says so.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Unto children's children. Upon them. That keep his covenant.
That's it.
And remember his commandments.
Right.
So there's stipulations
yeah.
attached to this.
Right.
Because you can't remember context. Context now. You cannot just ask this and not
no. right.
follow your end of the covenant.
Amen.
Because the covenant is a two-way deal.
Yes.
It is a two-way deal.
Yes, sir.
God will redeem me. God will give me his Holy Ghost, his Holy Spirit. But I must keep his I must keep his covenant. I must remember his commandments to do this. That's why studying is not a bad thing.
Right.
Of course, we nothing can be quickened to us unless it's a revelation.
Right.
But does that mean we should also go on the other extreme of the spectrum and not study?
No, man.
I've heard preaching against studying.
Out of context.
That's right.
Study to show yourself approved before who? Before God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you have to keep his covenant.
Yeah.
You have to remember his commandments.
Right.
To do them.
Amen.
Amen, sir.
Amen. So I believe God provided them for us so we can cite that back.
Yes.
Amen.
So we can pray for our children.
Yeah.
Because if I am keeping this covenant, and I am doing this commandment, then, God, I can ask you this.
Yes.
I can ask for your righteousness.
Yes.
But I have to do it. I have to remember his covenant.
That's it.
I have to remember his covenant. Remember, God only gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey.
Right.
To them that obey, of course, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But that word repenting implies obedience to God. It implies full obedience to God.
Amen.
You cannot walk with God haphazardly.
No.
You can't. Let me tell you something. God is more than able to do these things.
Yes.
This and so many other ones. We serve a faithful God.
Yes.
We serve a faithful God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand if you
will.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And let's just bow our heads before him. Our Heavenly Father, we are a needy people. We have such need of God. First, we want to say we're sorry.
Yes,
Lord. Yes.
For everything that we've done to keep away from your word, to keep our lives unconsecrated, because God, we don't want to keep our lives unconsecrated. We want our lives to be given to you, holy, sanctified, set apart for service, and baptized by the fire of the Holy Ghost. And God, we know that you are more than faithful to break every single bond and shackle that would seek to hinder your people. You are not only a merciful God, but you are the faithful God.
Thank you, Lord.
You are Jehovah Jireh, you provide. Oh God, God, my God that provides for your people. And God, now I just pray for your people. Now that we know who you are and that you are more than capable of answering the prayers of your people, I ask now if anyone has something on their hearts,
God,
that you might answer them, God. That you might not only answer them, but inspire faith. That a blessing might be tripled to a multiple blessing, that it might extend to more than one, oh God. But that this all might siphon into faith to go on that great catching away, to go on that great resurrection, oh God. Lord, we know we will not hinder those who are dead. We who are alive and remain will not hinder them. But God, it's not just them. We go too, oh God. Whether we're alive and breathing or dead at the grave, we know that when you call, when that trumpet sounds, we know it will be so simple for your children. Hallelujah. And so I ask God, you fulfill your covenant. We pray for these things. We fulfill. We ask that you fulfill 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17, oh God. Oh God. Lord Jesus, come quickly, oh Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Oh Lord. Oh Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we ask.
Amen.
Amen.
anyone who's had something on their heart that they need answering, and they're wanting God to answer, you need to seek no further than here, because He is here. He is here. Because His word says so. Two or three are gathered in my name. So He is here. And if anyone wants this, they need something answered. He is more than willing.
Saved today, don't leave today without salvation. It's freely given. You'll have no excuse at the day of judgment, for the man of salvation stands in our midst now. Don't be distracted with anything of the world. You'll never find that satisfying portion there to be. God sees your hands, He hears your hearts, children of God. Sometimes we just don't ask enough. Said, ask abundantly that your joys might be full. Are you sick in body? Ask. You'll leave well today. You discouraged? You need encouragement? Do you need peace? He's the Prince of Peace today. He's the Wonderful Counselor. Before, they'd have to call Him Jehovah Jireh, and that's all they knew. All Moses could say is, I don't know who He is, but His name is the I Am. But not us. We know His name. So much more, we know He called us by His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
Stay there, respected. I'm not being haphazard. The Holy Spirit's dealing with those. They're seeking Him. Anybody that would just like a fresh experience from God, would you lift your hands to Him and say, Father, not worried about anybody else, but just You, Lord. Let that joy return into my heart again. Let me me remember what I was before you came, Lord, and what you've done for me since then. We got a lot to be grateful. Hallelujah. Stay in that atmosphere of worship. You talk to him. You have a conference with the Lord. Brothers, come forth for prayer. We ought to give preeminence to him. Pray for one another. Respect God, brother.
Giving this over to you.
In the name of
you
Christ, Christ, brother,
from this thing, oh God.
Thank
in the name
you, Lord.
Of Jesus
take
Christ.
Our
Lord. Savior of God.
Satan, you're defeated. Your power,
seen,
you're exposed.
Thing.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus,
thing, oh power.
Hallelujah. Can we claim this in the name of Jesus?
Yes,
Christ,
oh God.
God. Give him
thank
endurance.
You, Lord.
Come on, I'll not only this.
Against
all the devils of hell.
Lord,
in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank
fill
you
him with power
for
again.
The deliverance of
thank
my brother.
You, Lord.
Oh God, you who provide, you who continue to sustain us. We believe this, Lord.
We believe
in the name
Lord.
Of Jesus Christ. We believe in
yes, we accept
him,
Lord. Thank you, Father.
As he gives this over, Lord, may this be a stake driven
yes,
into the ground, oh God, and
I'm
set up in his journey, Lord,
you, Lord,
for you, God. That he might always move forward and remember this, yes. Most true God,
thank
where he
you,
was forsaken. Hallelujah.
Yes,
we love
Lord,
you,
Lord.
We pray for his presence,
yes,
that
Lord,
you might help him, oh God. Lord, may salvation be extended unto them, Lord.
Yes,
may your righteousness
Lord, God.
Be extended unto them. He is seeking your covenant.
Lord,
not only for thee, but for his
name.
We pray this. We ask these.
We believe the Lord.
The
one who can make it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Knows that Christ is here with us right now. How many believes that? Why don't we just take a moment and worship and thank Him for what He's done for us? Just your own way. Thank you, blessed God, for your grace and mercy to me. Thank you for your provision, Lord, for being there every day of my life. Forgive me, Lord, and show me truth and help me, Father. I worship you. I praise you, Lord. I love you with all my heart, Jesus, Lord. Oh, I love you. Oh, I praise you, praise you, praise you.
We worship you, God.
Praise you, Lord.
We worship you, God.
Worship your holy name. Worship your holy name. Thank you, Jesus.
My salvation.
Because He lives, I can still face tomorrow. I can face every day. I can face the trials of this life. Appreciate your patience today with Brother Andrew and the service going a little bit longer than normal. Aren't you glad He still shows His vindication?
Amen.
Any man of God, it's the same thing. If God doesn't show up, what He said wasn't right, but I know He's here right now.
Amen.
I mean, appreciate the word that was brought today.
Amen.
Let's just give the Lord a hand clap for you. Thinking there, I don't know if Brother Bradley's ever going to hear me preach. If I see him in here, he's probably just going to go ahead and come on up. So, amen. That was wonderful. I'm glad to be in a predestinated moment, to live a predestinated life that's not haphazard. I'm not guessing around what God already laid out before the foundation of the world. And if He's brought me this far, He'll take me the rest of the way. I just love how the prophet said it. We're not gonna make it. We all made it. Thank you. bless you today, saints. I know we've heard from heaven, but I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, just how he's so perfect in every way, everything he does. If we don't get it, I'm glad if we'll just give it to him, he'll show us how it makes sense. He'll work it out according to his grace. We've got the fellowship today. For any of those that are willing to head on out there, I believe we're going to Brother Jason's house. Is that right? We're not? Oh, that's right. Down to the left. What was that, a block away? I think we can find it eventually there. But any directions or things, talk amongst one another. Let's all have a good time of fellowship. Not just we talk about it. Let's say it one more time. We're not there just to waste time. We're Christians. This is the one time you get to fellowship with Christians. We need to take advantage of that. And I don't want to be a groomer or anything like that, but we just don't know how much longer we have together. You know, I'm sure if they, you know, you're reading the Bible, I'm sorry to keep you here, I'll be done in a minute. In the Bible where Paul, remember the Holy Ghost told him that he was going to die? And he says, why are you breaking my heart? You want to know why they wanted him to say they're so bad? They knew this is the last time we'll ever see him.
Yeah.
Different than us, you know, oh, we can come visit and things. One day we might not be able to.
Amen.
Redeem the time. Use it not just to goof with it and every moment. God, bring glory to yourself through this moment. You're on the job. Bring glory to yourself.
Yes.
I'm just going to raise my hand for a few seconds just to say thanks for having mercy on me. Thanks for having grace on me. Thanks that I'm not dead.
Yes.
Thanks that I've got a desire to serve you.
Amen.
Thanks that I'm looking for you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
If I wasn't looking, I wouldn't see you. How many loves his appearing?
Amen.
Guess what? Yes. You're the one he's coming for.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
Lord gave me a song a long time ago, right when I first started serving. There's not going to be a rapture without me.
Amen. That's right.
And each one of us got to have the same testimony. Amen. Well, God bless you, saints. It was good to be in the house of the Lord. I'll give time. We'll let Dad lead you in a few songs. If you want to stay in worship, that's wonderful. It has been a little bit longer, but is it time well spent?
Amen.
Anybody else say amen? Was that good time spent?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So if you need to be going and things, please be dismissed. Be respectful. And go ahead and head outside if you want to start talking. That's fine. We'll have a fellowship here in a little while. So God bless you, saints. Let's just worship. Let's give the Lord another. Go ahead, brother. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for our children that you've given to us. You said in the word that thou and thy house shall be saved. Lord, and we pray for these soldiers of the cross. We place the token over them in the name of Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God would fill each one of them. And when they go out into the world, Lord, and even in school or at home, wherever they might be, that this time would be consecrated to you, that your Spirit would anoint them, Lord, and you destroy any influence of the enemy, Lord, and make them a light, a witness. May they be salty for your glory, Lord. May they speak in ways that we as adults can't, and may the world know that Jesus Christ is alive. We commit each one of them in your hands. We love them, Lord. We know that you love them. We pronounce this blessing as a congregation now together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's just thank the Lord for that. Hallelujah. stuff, so that's why she had to go. But she had a real nice spirit.
Amen.
Her name's Billy, what she told me. Let's just remember her in prayer.
Yes.
Like I said, don't know her from Adam, but that's why we're here.
Amen.
That's right.
Some people don't want visitors and don't want. No, I want souls.
Yes.
That might be the last one.
That's it. That's right. Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen. Well, let's sing. Praise the Lord. Thank you again, brother. I apologize, church. Been a little bit of a weekend for me, but he's more than able to deliver us from all distresses.
Hallelujah.
Remember one another, love one another. Go in the fear of God. God bless you.
Amen.
Oh.